In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, as we just heard, the Gospel is from a passage from St. Matthew. And we heed this warning from the Lord that we are all familiar with. We hear it actually more than once during the year, the Coptic year readings. When the Lord is warning us that every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Our major threat against our homes and our churches and our communities is not something from outside, is not the enemies that are around us, our surroundings, is not the evil people that we think they are after us to hurt us. Our main danger is the division that happens within the household and within the churches and communities. And as we hear the Lord warning us against division, the church every morning is teaching us and reminding us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The passage from the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4. So a reminder every day, keep peace, keep unity. This is where safety is hanging. So today we are going to talk about how we guard our homes against division. 4 points we'll talk about quickly. The first one is when love grows up. The second one is about gentle victory. The third will be the view from above. And the fourth point will be about the rock of piety. The first one is when love grows up. Everything should grow and mature, including this passion of love. And when it grows, then it crosses from feelings into faithfulness. If you depend only on feeling to sustain your relationships are not going to survive long. And when people are, even in their old age, think that it's all about affection, this is how we should live, then they will not be able to sustain unity in their homes. Feelings are transient. They are strong, yes, important, sure. They can last for a certain time, absolutely. But we cannot depend on them. Faithfulness is to be always committed to the relationship. I am in. I will defend it, and I will do the best of my ability to care for the people I live with. And it's not going to be dependent on how I feel today or what I think of the people that I am living with. When we hear the command to bear one another with one another, bearing with one another includes the meaning that you are dealing with maybe a difficult person. It can be. How can you say you are living this command if you only want people to be as you wish? I only deal with people who are kind and nice. And then if not, then this is the end of the relationship. As we hear St. Paul also to the Corinthians saying, love suffers long and is kind. This needs effort and need for us to be intentionally trying to overcome obstacles in order for us to be able to live with one another, bearing with one another in order for us to keep unity. Love, when it grows up, it thinks no evil. The idea about reading the mind of the person or his heart, this is sometimes actually we go into assumptions and we think evil of the people that will live with us. And also, love does not do any evil. And evil is not necessarily to harm a person physically. We have many, many ways where we can hurt one another. And people who are living in the same household, they know this very well. There is multiple forms of passive aggressiveness where I intentionally want to hurt you, make you feel that, okay, I am not pleased. And while we are thinking doing this, we are committing evil. When love grows up also, it focuses more on what can I do? How can I change? How can I adapt in order for me to be able to live peacefully? What are my duties? much, much more than thinking about what are my rights, what need to be done to me. When love grows up also, we see the other person with the eyes of grace, that maybe give excuses, understand that maybe this is his, her or his weakness, but also I have my weaknesses. Why do you assume that I am the perfect package? I am the person who is right and correct and is again to the other person, and then I only see her or his mistakes. When we have the eyes of Christ, we still can see people, see the goodness in them, who is able to see the goodness in the Samaritan woman who is living in life of adultery, but still he commended her for answering him in an honest way. This is an eye of grace. When love grows up also, it does not behave rudely. Maybe this is one thing that we don't think of ourselves, that sometimes we are rude to the people who are living with us, how we respond to them, how we answer back, how we talk back. And this is a characteristic we do not like, that we be described as rude. Sadly, if we examine our actions in an honest way, we find that many times we are speaking to each other, behaving with one another in a way that's so rude and shouldn't happen. The second way to be able to keep unity is to think of this kind of gentle victory. People think that to win is to conquer. To win means I dominate. My words will be the one that's going to prevail. This may give you some sense of victory, but in truth, it's a defeat. In the same passage that I referred to in the beginning of my talk, the Ephesians, we hear St. Paul saying this: walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness. The mindset of victory should be winning the other person, not winning the battle to dominate at home, or defeating the other person. My word is the last word, and then I feel good about myself. This is not victory in reality, especially at home. You don't win by dominating, by overpowering, by oppressing other people around you. To be able to submit to one another, yes, we understand the command that say the wife should always submit to her husband. But what about the husband submitting to the well-being of the wife or the children? Christ put himself under the cross in order to serve us. This is the mind of the husband. How can I bear my cross and submit to the maybe the wishes of the people around me to the best of my ability? This kind of victory also will come when we conquer the rule of the ego and its wounds. Many struggles at home is because of ego. Even though we do not say it as such, but it is reality. I do not want anyone to correct me. I do not want anyone to maybe rebuke or say something that I'm doing wrong. And under the thinking, it's not right, it is not respectable, I do not accept anyone to tell me that I am wrong. This is the rule of the ego. I am always right, and other people should always submit to me. The example of Abigail, when she met with David, he was the one who has the weapon in his hand and thinking he's going to kill Nabal, her husband. Abigail, with her meekness, her humility, she conquered him. She submitted herself in front of him, take the blame for her husband's mistake, and by doing this, she calmed his anger, and then she actually is the one who made him to change his mind. This is the gentle victory that maybe we try to pursue in order for us to win other people, not just to overcome them. The third point to keep unity is the view from above. There are always two kinds of wisdom. Wisdom that's earthly, and the scripture describes this kind of wisdom as being demonic. And there is another wisdom that's from above. How does it look like, this kind of heavenly wisdom? Heavenly wisdom will cherish peace at home as the most precious asset. The most expensive thing you have at your home is not the house itself, no matter how expensive it is, not the jewelry, not the money in the bank, not the car you have. It is the peace that can you bring to the house. If you ask your children what they would expect, what they want, what they would demand of you as parents, what they would ask you to do above anything else, they will tell you this: keep peace. This is what we want. We want the house to be a peaceful place. People speaking to each other in love, in meekness, with a quiet voice. We hate screaming, yelling, and all these kinds of communications that bring trouble to the house. Look at Abraham. When his herdsmen had problem with the herdsmen of Lot, Abraham has a choice. And the choice was to fight over the land, the territory, or to give or to keep peace. And he chose peace. And he went to Lot and said, wherever you go, I'll take the other place. Very simple. Even though he was mistreated by Lot, Lot took the place that's green and left him the desert. And Abraham was okay with it. Why? Because he was a man with heavenly wisdom. Let me keep peace. And that's it. This is the most important thing. Nothing else is as valuable as this. The wisdom from above also tells us that he who wins souls is wise. رابح النفوس حكيم. Winning people, winning your wife, your children, your husband, you do your very best. I know and understand people, some people are very difficult, yes. But is it my pursuit? Is it what I'm trying to do to win people? Or is something else? And that's winning other people is not one of the items on my agenda. Without divine wisdom, love, or what we claim as being love, can be a destructive force. People destroy their own homes under the word of, because I love them, I care about them. Many examples how homes are divided, are destroyed, while people are saying or thinking, I am doing my best and I am caring. Abusing people by beating, by cussing at them and saying, because I love them and I want to correct them. Or spoiling them, giving them whatever they wish, because I love them. At the end of the day, the same place. Possessing people, I owe you. You owe me, I'm sorry, I am, you belong to me and I do whatever I wish with you. Under also the idea of, I love you. Controlling people, instead of guiding them, then I will force you to do whatever I see or I think is right. And correction, like this way, by force, is control. Even though you might be right. But when you force people to do something when they are adults, this is not love. This is control, and this is disguised as love. Many forms, as I said, of this kind of love can destroy homes while we are not aware of that. The wisdom from above also will teach us to avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, talking about things that happened many, many years. Couples are fighting over what happened in the engagement time that took place 40 years ago. What do we call this? Going into this kind of disputes about, okay, families here and families there and who did what, all of these, where they lead us? Nowhere. And we know they are foolish disputes. And we know that we will not get anywhere with them. But still we repeat them as if like we have no control whatsoever into this kind of discussions that make us to lose peace and ending up into again making a gap and a division every time we talk about these kind of subjects. The wisdom from above will teach us that soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. This wisdom, written by King Solomon 1,000 years actually before Christ, still stands. Do still we need more evidence? Do we still want to try that I will answer you in a harsh way and I will insult you and then we will have peace? And people are still saying or talking the same, speaking in a very difficult way, assuming that we will get into some kind of agreement. Because today I said what I think is right. The wisdom from above also will teach us what are the tools in our hands as parents to handle our children. We always have four tools, and one of them will have to retire in a certain time. We have authority, we have persuasion, and we have the bond of love, and we have prayers. When to use each, and when we come to the point of realization that it's time to retire authority. Did we ever work with, for example, the tool of bringing this kind of bond? At a certain time, I will appeal to the love between us, and this is what I have in my hand. Is it something important for your child to know that you are upset or that you work at your very best to destroy this bond and he or she does not care anymore? If you are upset or not, I don't care. Your emotions, your feelings are the least I would care about. Why you are here? Because we never use this. We never actually work it hard to bring this kind of bond to become strong enough. Again, to be able to keep peace, I have to understand what are the tools in my hand. And when I use them, some parents, they only think of authority. Authority is the tool. Without it, I cannot do anything. And definitely, they are gravely mistaken. What is the line between admonition and provoking? As we hear also St. Paul to the Ephesians saying, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Where is admonition? Where I reproach, I correct, and where is provoking? I make this person angry, and I am building in his heart resentment. Where is the line? Can we distinguish between both of them? Or just like, it is what it is. It is what I do. While we are thinking that I am serving, I am helping, I am actually making a gap, and this gap will increase by time until the time shows, then something will collapse. The last point is the rock of piety. Strong homes start with God-fearing couples. It's a rule with no exception. You cannot maintain unity at home while one or more of the people are not living in God-fearing. As we hear about Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Only God can keep unity at home. If we are double-minded, if we are still showing up on Sunday at the church and doing something else from Monday to Saturday, this kind of life is not a life of piety. This kind of life will not promote peace, will not bring the presence of God in our homes. The rock of piety also shows in how couples, they worship in and out of the house. Being away from communion or from confession for months and years, not praying at home, the Bible is not opened, where exactly unity will come to us? How it's going to be achieved if this is the kind of life that we lead away from God? To define true richness as serving God in His church, this is the thing that we value and cherish the most. We are God's children. This is what matters. Nothing else and nothing more. Only a heart united with God, pure and undivided, can be in harmony with other people. This is again something that's only Christian homes, truly founded on Christ and His values and teachings, can be united. Something we look inside ourselves before we look outside. As I said in the beginning, Christ is warning us against division. This is where things start to collapse. And the church is reminding us every day to endeavor to keep the unity of peace. It's not something easy. It's not a task that can happen just by the wishes or the good intentions. Something we need to persevere and work hard to get there. This is our only way to keep our homes, our churches, and our communities safe and divided. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.